Good morning, church. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray for each heart that you brought here this morning. And I pray, God, that you would help us believe and feel at our very core the security that we can have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we ended with a call that Moses had received from the burning bush. Likewise, we've all been given a call through the Great Commission to go. And the last words I spoke last sermon was that the enemy of this world will not let people go unless you go with the mighty hand of God. Amen. And if you're like me, and if you're like Moses, insecurity will rise up with that call. See, God didn't use Moses his first 40 years because he became arrogant and tried to do it his own way. He thought he was a somebody. But now he's gone too far the other way. It's going to be tough for God to use Moses because he's truly convinced that he's a nobody. His insecurity is going to block him from accepting this call. And he gives five protests in today's sermon. Five times he tells God, I'm insecure about this. So if you're like me and if you're like Moses, I'm assuming you might have insecurity in your life. And insecurity is a funny thing because it's often something we don't want to address. Usually we like to hide from that. We like to just kind of let it maybe sit in the pit of our stomach. It's kind of out of sight, but it's still there. And usually we can't quite put our finger on it because mentally, what we're actually thinking, we're not quite sure. We just know that in the pit of our stomach, we don't feel good when that insecurity gets poked. All right, I'll need help advancing the slide, I think. All right. So today we're going to try and return you from that insecurity. We can advance the slide again here. So this weekend I went on the men's retreat with some of the men in our church. And we had a time on a ropes course. And so we'll get that picture up here. So that's me yesterday. All right. Now, keep in mind, this is kind of like at more of a kids' camp, so the cable that I'm attached to is actually about at my shoulder. So I looked a little goofy up there. Even one of the people working there said, I don't think we've ever had someone this tall up there. This will be interesting. Well, that made me feel safe, right? So I'm up there and insecurity, right? It's kind of where you're taking that next step. Am I really hooked on? A couple times we had to change the harness to another cable, and I'm just like, okay, like double checking. Did I connect this to the right one, or did I just connect the two cables together and I'm about to walk off, right? So insecurity. So when I'm up there, I was feeling some insecurity. And at the very end, you have to tie onto a zip line that does a pretty good drop at first until the slack catches, and then you zip on by. And that's how you get down from your insecurities, to jump. And anyways, insecurity in our lives is kind of like that. You get up in a tree and you feel a little insecure, but the thought of coming down from that insecurity is even scarier. And as we had time in this men's retreat, I had time to sit at a lake and just think about my own insecurities and ask God some questions. And it got really uncomfortable. Like, it was more comfortable just to stay in the tree than to try and jump down Because once I started messing and letting God poke around, it started to expose that insecurity. I started to feel even more unsafe as I was exploring that. And yet that's what you got to do. Take some guts and take some courage. And so I'm not the only one like that. There's a guy named Saul in the Old Testament. He hid among the baggage when it was time to announce himself king. They couldn't find him. He was too tall, though. They found him in the baggage. He couldn't hide. Others that did that, Gideon, when God came to Gideon and said, "Hey, I'm calling you," he said, "Who am I? My clan is the least in Israel, and I'm the least in my family." That was his first reaction, was insecurity. And so let's look at the first one here of Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. We actually looked at this last week. And before we get there, here's a quote. Here's a quote from Experiencing God, which is in our bookstore. It's a great study, and it talks about the call on Moses' life and some parallels. And so the quote here is, "When you believe that nothing significant can happen through you, you've said more about your belief in God than you've said about yourself." Let that sink in for a second. We've talked about how the first 40 years of Moses, he thought he was a somebody. Next 40 years, he thought he was a nobody. God is now bringing him out into the last third of his life, where he knows that a nobody can be used by God. And it gets rooted in what we believe about God and not just ourselves. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. The first protest was actually what we looked at last week. The protest is basically, what if I've failed before? Okay? God calls you to do something, that can come in. And so Moses says, "But Moses protested to God, 'Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?'" So what's he saying here? Who am I? And how's he judging that? Based on his past performance, right? What's my resume? Keep in mind that this guy stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tried to kill him. When he was 40, he tried to rescue Israel, and it didn't work. He failed. And God is saying, go back. So that's an insecurity, right? Who here's failed before? Yeah. And God is probably calling you to do that again. Maybe not the failure part, but go back and give it another go. The next slide here, the answer to that, that God responds to in verse 12, he says, "I will go with you, Moses." He doesn't answer Moses' insecurity. Tells him a promise, "I will be with you." And the implications of that are that I'm going to redeem that failure. You're going to learn from it. I think we underestimate the education that failure brings us. And we label it wrong because it's not failure, because God's not done with us yet. So God says, "I will go with you." And that's going to make the difference here. There's a story of someone who made a terrible mistake at their company, and it lost the company thousands of dollars. And he walked into the boss's office and said, "Are you going to fire me? I mean, I really blew it." And I think some of you know where this is headed. The boss said, "I just made a $100,000 investment in your education. I'm not letting you go." Because every time this comes up again, I know now, you know now, you're going to do it different. So for those of us with the insecurity of "I've failed before," whether it be in relationships, whether it be financially, whether it be a ministry that you tried to start and it didn't work out, God is with you. If God is with you, then failure is not final. So you can get down from that tree. Stop hiding in that insecurity, because God is with you. So the second protest here that we'll move to is, what if I don't have all the answers? Exodus 3:13 says, Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of our ancestors has sent me to you, they're going to ask me, well, what's his name? Then what should I tell them? You ever been called to do something and you didn't have all the answers? My wife and I were feeling called to this church. We didn't know where we were going to live yet. We didn't know a lot of things. We knew 12 people on the search team, and they seemed nice. And then I showed up here for my first sermon to add a couple hundred to it. I said, I don't know these people. God, you're calling me to it, but I don't have all the answers. And I remember one of the search team meetings, someone asked me, well, what's your plan to transition us to what's next? I said, I don't know. I don't know where you've been. I don't know before I know where you're headed. And yet I think that was the right answer, because it showed that I want to learn, right? God's going to be with me, and we're going to figure this out. Kind of like that picture of me up on the ropes course, right? I didn't know all the cables and this and that, but I knew where the next step was. So I can take that. You know, that's within one stride. I can accomplish that. Now, how I was going to get down to the ground at the end of all this, I wasn't quite sure yet. But I was going to take the next step on that platform. I didn't have to have all the answers. Doesn't mean that I was going to be lazy and not look into it and not try and learn. But God has the answers. God has the answers. And sometimes he has the answer and he doesn't share it with us. Oh, that'll bug you. I know you've all got insecurities like that in your life. When you look back, you say, God, this still doesn't make sense. You know the kind of stuff that if you go on a men's retreat and you sit by a lake during rec time and you're asking God the question, what do you want to work on in my heart? It's that kind of stuff that comes out, right? Where it's like, you know what, God, this still doesn't make sense. And sometimes he doesn't share that answer with us. As frustrating as that is, sometimes he makes sure that we remember he is God and we are not. And that is okay. That is a secure and safe place to be, even if we don't have all the answers. There's a scripture in Romans 11, verse 33. The Apostle Paul is marveling at the infinite wisdom of God. He says, oh, the depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. And I like to play on words, that phrase, how inscrutable his ways. And the play on words came from president of Dallas Seminary, John Woolford. He says, we spend too much of our time trying to unscrew the inscrutable. And I like that play on words. There might be an answer God has that he's not going to reveal to you. There might be pain or sickness still in your life that you don't quite understand. And my heart goes out to you for that. But God is a nicer guy than me. God cares about that. He's with you. He has the answers. Even if they're not right at your fingertips right now, it's going to be okay. You don't have to hide in a tree. You can come down from the ropes course. You can go back to work. But I understand how uncomfortable that position is. It was for Moses, for sure. The third protest. Now we turn the corner into chapter 4, so we're in a new territory. I told you last week we're in chapter 4 this week. Raise your hand if you read chapter 4. Awesome. Awesome. A few more. Now, a lot of you, actually 4 or 5 of you, looked ahead and you asked me, how in the world are you going to tie the end of this chapter into your sermon? I'll let you anticipate a little longer. So the third thing here is the question, what if I get rejected? That doesn't feel good. Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Moses is quick here. He's got the comebacks, doesn't he? What if I get rejected? You put yourself out there, it doesn't feel good to get rejected, does it? That can be some of the worst pain, actually. If that happens to you when you're a kid, you remember that. It might not seem like a big deal. You didn't get picked for lunchtime, recess, soccer. But you remember that kind of stuff. It takes a shot at your insecurity. Sometimes you don't realize that. And then later on in life, something similar happens. And what happens? You get that rise, right? And you don't even know what's happening up here, but you get the rise right here. It's like, that reminds me of what happened before. It's not the voice of God, my friends. It's the voice of the enemy that wants to keep you up in a tree, afraid. You can come down from that tree. So what if I get rejected? What's really interesting here in verse 21, God actually promises that Moses will get rejected. Not quite sure why he does that to the prophets, but a lot of times he gives them a message and says, my people aren't going to listen to you. And you think that maybe that gets them off the hook, right? Like, okay, well, we're not going to do that plan, right, God? No. We are going to do that plan. God is still calling you and sending you, even if people are going to reject you. And in verse 21, God says, Pharaoh is going to have a hard heart, and he is not going to believe you. He's not going to accept you. And some of the prophets, like Jeremiah, when Jeremiah got called, God told him, it's going to be a tough road, but I'm going to have my words in you for you to speak to my people. It's going to be like fire in your bones, and it's going to have to come out. But Jeremiah is told they're not going to listen to you. And as time goes on, they don't. They keep throwing them in wells. He's like, really, God? Another well? But God made a promise early on, and he reminds Jeremiah throughout his life. He goes, but I will sustain you. I will protect you. And he does. And all the chaos going around Jerusalem in Jeremiah's life, even in the capture of Jerusalem and the exile, Jeremiah is okay. Because the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will, my friends. Don't fear the rejection of man. Fear the rejection of God. That's who you should be concerned about. And for those wondering how I'm going to tie this into the end of the chapter, if you look ahead in your Bibles, that is something that Moses misses here, is fearing the rejection of God. At the end of the day, that's the only thing that could make you insecure in this life, is if you're considered an enemy of an almighty God, and if God rejects you. That is the only unstable ground. And yet Moses doesn't address that at all in these protests. He's so in his own head. He's so focused on people around him. As God answers Moses here, he gives him three signs to perform. Three miracles to show. One of them is to lay a staff in the ground, and it turns into a snake. Now he's supposed to grab this snake by the tail. I think that's kind of evident to what God's calling him to do. In confronting Pharaoh and telling him what's going to happen, and Pharaoh rejecting him is a little bit like grabbing a snake by the tail. And Moses does, and it turns into a staff again. God kept him safe. Another principle here, too, is that as these people reject Moses, it's not rejecting Moses. These people are rejecting God. And God makes that distinction throughout Scripture. He says it to Samuel when Samuel's warning the people of Israel about choosing a king. He's saying, you don't need a king. You've got God. But God tells Samuel, he goes, Samuel, it's okay. They're not rejecting you. You're saying the right stuff. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And Jesus says that in Luke 10:16. He mentions the same kind of concept, that I'm sending you to go, and if they don't accept you, it's because they're not accepting me. Fourth protest. In case you're feeling insecure right now, maybe that's a good thing. Ask God right now, what insecurity in your life do you need to bring before him? What are you trying to hide away and not address? Don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you do that, then you're going to let circumstances of life draw those insecurities out. They're going to come out. A good time to address them is in church. In prayer, looking at Scripture. This is the moment. So what insecurities are in your life? Fourth one here is, what if I mess up? Moses said, doesn't say protested now, it's saying pleaded. Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I am not very good with words. Which is funny, because he's pretty quick with these comebacks, but he says, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. Which is also interesting, in Acts 7, it says Moses in Egypt was powerful in speech and action. I haven't reconciled that yet in my mind. I don't know if something changed. I don't know. But he says, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. These are insecurities he's had for 40 years, guys. Ever since he left Egypt, Moses has had time to build these insecurities. I think that's why they're so readily available. Don't spend 40 years letting insecurities sit in your life. That's too much sideways energy. God's got something else for you. And it's a lot more fun than sitting in a tree afraid. So this fourth one is, what if I mess up? What if I mess up? I fear that probably every Sunday morning. I've been learning to call it, instead of insecurity, a vulnerability, a frailty, right? Because insecure means I'm not going to be okay, right? A frailty, a vulnerability means on my own strength, I'm not going to be okay. But God can use me. And God made you. That's the response that's given here. Moses says, you know, I can't speak well. God says, who makes a person's mouth, Moses? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear, not hear, see or not see? God is saying, Moses, I made you. I know what I'm getting. Right? And I'm getting everything I gave you. You have nothing I have not given you. So I don't know why you're making this about yourself, Moses. I'm calling you to go. I'm trying to fire you up, just like that burning bush that's fired up, and Moses is staying cold. He's saying, no. What can you do with a lousy bush? What can you do with a stick in my hand? It's nothing. What can you do with me? God wants a fan his flame in your life, just like he did Moses. And in verse 12 of chapter 4, God says, now go. saying that wasn't a good excuse. Moses, now go. I will be with you as you speak. I will instruct you in what to say. You can do this. And finally, this last one, the fifth protest. Moses says, what if someone else is better at this than me? Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. I mean, he's a shepherd in Midian. He's on nobody's radar for being the next leader of Israel. We'll find out later here. There's elders in Israel. There's people already in positions. There's a hierarchy there. What if someone else is better? I think of that. I was at this men's retreat, and there's a couple pastors giving the sermon. They talk really fast. I go, I can't talk that fast. That's how God made me. That's okay. He knew what he was doing. Sometimes that prevents us from stepping up, volunteering somewhere, helping out with the kids. It's just like, I might not be the greatest with kids, right? I bet someone else is better at helping with the kids than I am, right? Let them do it. You know what ends up happening sometimes with that? Is we cancel childcare on Sundays. Or what about being a life group leader? You say, man, I don't know. I'm sure one of the elders would be better at that. Or I'm sure someone else would be better at being a life group leader. You know what happens with that? We hear about people wanting to join life groups and there's no openings. God is sending you. God is sending you. Because the enemy of God will not let people go unless you go. God's power. He's sending you. Sometimes I think it's okay to leave, maybe you call them gaps, on the volunteer board, just to show, you know what? You're better than nothing. There's a lot of stuff I've stepped up to do before. I think that often starts with a call where you're like, you know what, God? I'm better than nothing. Nothing else is happening here, right? What's there to lose? So I'll give you what I got, right? Some of you right now are stepping up in ways because you're seeing the need. You're seeing there is no one else right now. And then you start feeling that call. God has sent you. God has sent you. There's so many spheres in your life that are uniquely where God has sent you. And yeah, God could send somebody else. When Esther gave protest to what she was being called to do, to stand before the king, to save her people, she was warned. She said, Esther, God will, her uncle said, God will provide a savior for his people. If not you, it will be someone else. But I'm sure Esther was glad she got to join and be a part of what God was doing. So the Lord sends Moses here. He gives Aaron, his brother, permission to come. It's funny, as they've been fighting here, in verse 14, he says, okay, he says, Moses, your brother Aaron's already on his way from Egypt to Midian to meet with you. God wasn't surprised at what Moses was going to say. You know, they're fighting. It's like, what are we having for dinner? No, we shouldn't have McDonald's. What are we having? Okay, actually, like, I just ordered DoorDash and there it is, you know, it's already here. I knew that you weren't going to cave in, you know. So Moses shows up, or Aaron shows up with Moses, and then they go together down to Egypt to do what God told them to do. Yet I will note, it wasn't best for Aaron to be sent with him. It was more of a crutch than anything. Because later on, Aaron becomes a snare to Moses. God had called Moses to do this. It's best to do what he says. And it's best not to box God in sometimes with our prayers. What I mean by that is sometimes God's calling us to do something, and yet we pray in such a way that we say, no, it's got to be me and Aaron, right? Like, it's got to be this way, Lord. Sometimes we box God in those ways. We should be praying his will, saying, God, let's go free your people, right? But not tell God that it's got to be because me and Aaron go, or not because, you know what I mean? It's like praying, God, bless this ministry. Okay, but what if God wants to change that ministry, right? Why are we boxing him in and then putting our eyes on whether he took our order or not? Like, let's pray the will of God. Let's pray, let's be willing to see the flexibility that God might take, right? Moses could have said, Lord, you know, help me in my ministry here in Midian. Help it to go well. No. God is calling Moses to make a radical adjustment to leave Midian. He's saying, I want you over here. We got a new thing. So a great prayer is, God, send me to wherever you want me to go. And the answer is already yes. That is a powerful prayer. And that is a prayer you can only pray when you've already tackled your insecurities. Because as long as you hold on to those insecurities, you're not going to pray that prayer. Because you're going to be saying, well, what if I mess up? What if I failed before? What if I don't have all the answers? What if people reject me? What if someone else is better? Let go of the insecurities and pray the prayer, God, I will go wherever you call me to go. The answer is already yes. Deal through those insecurities this morning, my friends. Join what God is doing. And another thing you need to do before God is going to use you is deal with any unconfessed sin in your life. On the way to Egypt, Moses and his family one night were confronted by the Lord as the Lord was about to kill Moses. And this is what I was referring to. Some of you said, how are you going to tie this into the sermon? As this goes on, it shows that Moses had not circumcised his sons, which was part of the promise given to Abraham. He was supposed to circumcise his sons. I'm not going to get into circumcision. Though the New Testament says we need to circumcise our hearts, put off the sinful nature in our life. So there's certainly plenty of speculation and mystery in these next three verses. But bottom line, he didn't do what God had told him to do in his family. For a long time. I mean, he's had 40 years in Midian. He just shoved that in a corner and locked the door. Said, I'm not doing that. I'm not explaining to my in-laws what that means. I'm not going there. I'm just not going to do it. And as I was mentioning earlier, he's so afraid of all of these insecurities. The one thing he needed to be afraid of is, what does God think of him? Is he right before God? My friends, we're going to be taking communion today, and it's a great opportunity to ask that question. Are you right before God? Because if you're not, I'm not here to tell you you should feel good. If you're not, I'm telling you, you should feel insecure. Because if you're not right with God, there is not a hedge of protection around you. You don't have the promises that God is with you, that God will protect you, that God will give you the answers when you need them. You don't have the promise that God has sent you, that God has chosen you. You don't have those. And so then what are you doing in your life? There is no firm footing, my friends, to be in the hands of an angry God. Before you take the table today, and I hope you do come up, as you remember the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins, who can circumcise your heart, accept his forgiveness. Be a friend of God, just like Moses was. At the end of his life, it says he was a friend of God, would see him face to face. The chapter ends with a wave. I think it's beautiful. So Moses and Aaron come back to Egypt, and they gather the elders of the people together, and they tell them what God had told them. They did the miracles God had shown them. And then the elders talk to the people, and the people, says here, the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and they worshiped God. That is how you return from insecurity, is when you get on your knees and you worship God, God of heaven that made heaven and earth. That is how you get out of insecurity, my friends. This is it. This is when you get down from the tree, you hook up to the zip line, and you swing on down. As scary as it is to hit the ground with your knees sometimes, this is sacred ground. And this is the safest ground you can ever be. And so the challenge today, Faith family, if you'll join me on your knees, and worship team, you can come up. We're going to be taking communion today. That's a YouTube link of me coming down from the zip line. Maybe we'll post on Facebook for you. First Corinthians 11:28 says that everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. That's what this time is for. That same passage says that the Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Cast off your insecurities. Doesn't mean get arrogant, but understand that they're just vulnerabilities that God is filling if you're right with him. Let us pray. Lord, like the burning bush, I pray that you fire us up. We are ordinary, but when your spirit empowers us, it is extraordinary. And so I pray that for this church in Jesus' name, because that is what it's going to take. So let your people go. Amen.